Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Coco Express, part of the Blog Talk Radio Network. Your host on the Coco Express is Aurelia Lyles. She's all about keeping it real. Great guests, interesting topics, so get on board. Listen, learn, live.
Hey everybody, welcome to the Coco Express Show. And it's that time again. We have to get our monthly dose of those wonderful principles for success from Mr. Steve Duncanson.
Paradigm Shifters. Principles for Life and Success, hosted by motivationalist Steve Duncanson. Start framing your tomorrows today.
Good afternoon, everyone. Again, my name is Steve Duncanson. It's a pleasure to be here with you once again for another installment of Paradigm Shifters, Principles for Life and Success. You know, certainly throughout the course of our day, a lot of things get in the way of life. But ultimately, we determine which of those things we're going to focus in on. Are we going to allow it to stop us? Are we going to allow it to motivate us? And certainly, I'm here today working through various challenges with death of a friend and things of that sort. But I'm here with you today, and again, looking forward to being able to share some things that that I believe will be a great benefit for you. So, Aurelia, are you there?
Of course I am. I will not leave you lonely.
Good, just checking. How have you been? How are things going?
Well, as you know, some Saturdays I teach at a charter school in Philadelphia, and this was one of those Saturdays. And I have to say, it was a challenge, but you know what? I'm glad I'm doing it, and I'm also glad that I'm here with you because some of these principles help me do what I do when I'm with them.
I got you. So the kids can stretch you, can't they?
Ooh!
Just when you think you know it all.
Oh, it's just when you think you got their attention, they let you know I'm in control.
Well, it's good. You know, certainly the impact that you're having on them, I would imagine, wouldn't be things that they will soon forget. Even if it leaves their conscious mind and their subconscious, you find don't you like sometimes find yourself repeating things that your parents told you like years ago, and you said, "I'll never say that to anybody." Right?
Oh yes. My goodness, do I? Yeah. I'm like, There was one that my mom used to use. You're running around like a chicken with your head cut off. And I could never figure that one out until I had the opportunity to be in the South and watch them kill a chicken. And I got to see what a chicken looks like with his head cut off. And I was like, oh, I'm not going to do that anymore. And now I tell my daughter the same thing. You know, you're running around like a chicken with your head cut off.
Mm-hmm. The one I used to hear from my parents all the time, especially my dad, was when I would get, because I mean, throughout the course of my life when I was a kid, you know, I got a few spankings here. I got a lot of them.
Not right? You.
Yeah, anywho, that's another story, right? But, and I'm sure that you and many of our listeners could relate to this. My father used to say, "This is going to hurt me more than it hurts you."
Oh, yeah.
Like, then spank yourself. You know? But when I found myself saying it to my kids, I was like, yeah, okay. But the bottom line is the stuff that we hear that really could lend value to us, it stays on the inside. You know, it's there. And at the appropriate time, it can come to the forefront of our minds. But that's also why it's necessary to continue to repeat things that we believe we already know. Each month when we come together to do these principles, sometimes as I look at them, I say, you know, well, we did that already. But repetition is the mother of skill. And the more we hear things, and one of my favorite books says, faith comes by hearing and continue to hear and hear and hear over and over again. You practice it, you rehearse it, so that it becomes something that is an operation just when you need it. As I look through the principles as well, you know you can find that many of them are similar in nature. So one can think like, hey, well, I learned all of them and I got it. So because many of them are similar in nature. You know, so like the law of belief is similar to the law of expectation. The law of applied effort will be similar to the law of perseverance. But yet, you will find that even though they are similar, they all do have their distinctions, subtle distinctions that make all the difference in the world. The other thing that I noticed about principles is this, that you'll find laws that are cooperating and corresponding, but never contradicting. Because if it contradicted, it wouldn't be a principle. Because remember we talked about the definition of principle? Really, you remember the definition of principle? Never mind, I'm not going to put you on the spot.
Oh, good, thank you.
Principle is a broad and basic rule of truth. It doesn't change. It's virtually inviolate. And so since it doesn't change, if ever something would happen to contradict a principle, it wouldn't really be a principle. But they are corresponding and cooperating. And so an example of that would be like the law of gravity and the law of lift, right? And they would seem to be opposites, but they work well together. And it's understanding like a plane taking off goes against the wind, not with it. And so those laws of each cooperate with one another to create the law of flight, you know. So the reality is this, understanding that some of them are similar, that we've heard many of them before, but it's about repeating them, and it's about understanding the subtle distinctions. I heard one gentleman say this. He says, wisdom is the ability to discern differences.
Mm-hmm.
Wisdom is the ability to discern difference.
Mm-hmm.
Not only, so the subtle distinctions, not only in principles, but the distinctions discern the difference between what might be good for you and what's best for you. To discern something or someone that is for you or who's against you, because sometimes they can look alike. Again, my favorite book talks about that the wheat and the tare. As the wheat and the tare grow up, they look similar, and it's not until they're harvested that you can tell the difference between the two, right?
Mm.
So but wisdom is the ability to be able to discern difference.
Mm-hmm.
And so the more we spend time understanding ourselves and getting an understanding, too, of these principles, the greater success we can have in life overall. So a couple of things that I want to share with you. Is okay if I get into those right now?
You go right ahead.
Okay. So one of them I want to share with you is one that we did talk about before. It's called the law of correspondence. And the law of correspondence, some of you might remember, says, as it is within, so it is without. Your inner world creates your outer world. As it is within, so it is without. Your inner world creates your outer world. Your inner world, of whatever is going on inside of you, is something that's going to be reflected on the outside. Right? And This past week, and I posted actually on my Facebook page, a video that one of my buddies sent me. And it was a gentleman who, you know, he got up early in the morning, and he got in his car. And from the very first time, from getting up in his car and driving out, he continued to see negative. So a little boy rode out in front of his car, and he had a negative thought about that young boy. And he gets stuck in traffic, and then he goes to Starbucks, and he's got to wait long online. And then somebody jumps in front of him online, and he just continued to see negative after negative after negative. Somebody takes his parking space, all kinds of stuff like that. Then someone appears and hands him a pair of glasses. He puts on the glasses and then sees those same scenarios over and over again. But in those scenarios now, there are postscripts which give insight into what each of those individuals are really dealing with, what's really going on. So there's what he saw based on what his internal environment was, but then really what was going on with them. The people that he was encountering and the situations that he was encountering. And he found that there in each of those was an opportunity for him to rise up to another level.
Mm.
And so the reality is this, once again, what we see with our eyes is colored by the condition of our hearts. Whatever we see with our eyes is colored by the condition of our hearts. That's correspondence, as within, so without. Your inner world creates your outer world. So what are you seeing? If everywhere you look, you're seeing negative, it's not the thing you're looking at. It's how you're viewing it. And if you can just change how you see things, then you'll be able to get a greater benefit from the thing that's taking place. Because a lot of times we can't change the circumstances, but we can change ourselves in the circumstances. And so Figuring out what are, when we talk about things that we see, what are the things that we want? Two people can look at the exact same thing again and walk away with something completely different. Let's consider the aspect of time, because all of us are given the same 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Right? We're all given the same thing. Yet there are some people that can complete immeasurably more than others in that same 24-hour period. And so here's what we heard this from someone else that shared as well, that I thought was really a great idea concept. And that is, they said that time will either promote or expose you. Time will either promote or expose you. And so the reality is this: whatever you choose to put into that time or don't put into that time is going to determine the impact of that time on your existence.
Okay. Now, that's just like when our parents would say, time will tell.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely. And so, and the key is, what is it telling? What is it saying to us? So one of the things that can help us more greatly get the greatest benefit for our time is the aspect of setting goals. What is it that we want to be able to accomplish? You know, Mark Twain said, I can help anybody get what they want. I simply can't find anyone who knows what they want. And so the aspect of goal setting, and, you know, as usual, got an acronym. I don't know if I shared it before, but I'm going to share it now. Right? Goals. And the acronym is guaranteed to obtain an amazing level of success. G-O-A-L-S. Goals. Guaranteed to obtain an amazing level of success. And setting some goals for ourselves allows you to be that much more effective with the time that you have. There's another law that says time expands, and the work expands to the time given. Okay, so if you give yourself 4 hours to do a task, it'll probably take you 4 hours. But that same task, if you have something else to do on the other side, you can probably do it in less time. All right? So when you set goals, that allows you to focus a bit more on what you want to do, when you want to do it. And that's the only way to really experience great success is to set goals. Because we can't let – life is going to happen no matter what. Time is going to pass no matter what. But ultimately, us being more effective and concentrated and focused on what we're doing in that time frame is really what's going to allow us to be able to experience benefit when it's all said and done. What does it take to win? What it takes to win, I think Lou Holtz, who's a great basketball football coach in Notre Dame and many others, and he's a commentator now on one of the sports channels. But he talked about also another acronym for WIN, and that is this: it's focusing on what's important now. How do you know when we set our goals? What's the next thing to do? Or what's the next step? What's the most important use of my time right now? What should I be doing? Not what could I be doing, what should I be doing? And as one focuses their efforts on the greatest, biggest bang for the buck, as it were, of what you could be, because a lot of things we could be doing, we could be busy, but busy doesn't mean effective. Motion doesn't mean progress. And so determining ahead of time where we want to be and putting the things in necessary to be able to make that happen, figuring out what's important now.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, let's round it out with an acronym for now. No opportunity waits. Why should we be focusing on telling our goals and focusing on most important use of our time right now? Because an opportunity today might not be the same opportunity tomorrow.
That's probably why I'm still single.
That's another seminar, and we can open that up, but maybe in the next session, because I think I got to be more prepared for it. Certainly, I cannot. I make no claims to fame of being a relationship expert, but I feel you. Easy. Right. But wow, what was I saying even? But no opportunity waits. It might not be the same opportunity, and being focused on what is it we want and what do I need to do to get the most out of that at any given point in time. And so, and some oftentimes, actually, what causes us to miss out is that we quit in the process, because, you know, sometimes it takes time to get the thing that we want, right? You may have set the goal, any particular goal, and achieving it in 30 days, 90 days, whatever the case might be, and you might not have gotten there yet. And maybe it's just going to take a little bit longer than we initially anticipated. You know, what are we becoming in the process? Sometimes we're getting better, which then facilitates our ability to be able to achieve that thing that we want. What are we getting in the process of that? The reality is this: we will win if we don't quit. And I think Ross Perot has a quote from Ross Perot that he said, the difference between winning and losing is quitting. Right. Now, he was always famous for saying some simple things.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
But the reality is, you win if you don't quit. Recognize, right, that so that the road to success is never flat, it's never smooth, it's rarely straight. It's lived on an incline, mm-hmm. and it's our ability to commit to what's necessary in the moment. Have to set a goal, set a target, but commit to what's necessary in the moment to be able to achieve that thing that allow us to be able to experience the success that we want, to persevere. I shared once before, and I'll share again, because, again, repeating it is important. Law of perseverance. Your ability to persist, it's actually a law of persistence. Your ability to persist in the face of inevitable setbacks and circumstances is the measure of your belief in yourself and your ability to succeed. So it doesn't matter how long it takes. The time that it's going to take is going to expose you. Time is time. The 24/7 it will be until the point where time is no more. What does that time say about you as you either spend it or invest it to ultimately get the thing that you want in life, right? So when it's all said and done with all of this, most of it begins with having a clear goal of what it is that you want to achieve, committing yourself, not being deterred by time, utilizing time, not being used by time to create the thing that you want on the other side, whatever. I'm always ambiguous when I say the thing that you want as far as success is concerned, because all too often it's relegated to the area of finances. And success isn't only about finance, nor is wealth only about finance. It's relationships. It's just there's so many other things that could be included in it. But the encouragement to everyone once again is that if we commit ourselves to doing what's necessary, recognizing it's very rarely the things that are around us, but what's going on inside of us that determines whether or not we succeed and get the things that we want.
So you mean to say that, let's just say, for instance, you are an employee and you have a supervisor who is someone who always has something not very nice to say, no matter how hard you work and no matter, you know, how great the output of your product is.
Mm-hmm.
So you're saying that they're looking at it from their own internal dilemma as opposed to looking at it for what it really is.
I say that that's a possibility. I say it's something to be considered, because it doesn't mean that someone can look at something you're doing and see that it's not where it could be. You know, certainly we have to be able to assess. The key is that someone, I think, is maybe you did say that, if it's always negative, no matter mm-hmm. what you do, then chances are it's not the thing that they're looking at.
Mm-hmm.
It's the eyes through which they're looking. And mm-hmm. if we can change the way we look at things, right? If that mm-hmm. perspective changes, it ultimately can change an end result.
Okay. Yes. Now, let's say, for instance, you said with the acronym for GOAL, guaranteed to obtain any level of success, right?
An amazing.
I'm sorry, I can't even read my own writing. An amazing level of success. Now, uh-huh. when we set those goals, we also have to incorporate what's important now, because if we don't know what's important now, setting those goals mean nothing, correct?
Absolutely. Right. That's correct. We have to make sure that we're not trying to do step J before we do step A. right?
Mm-hmm.
So what is the thing that I need to be making happen, you know, now? Let's say someone has set a goal, an educational goal of getting a degree, and yet you don't have the money for the degree. Well, how about researching the various courses that you might want to take, the universities that offer it? What are the other plans for being able to pay for it? I mean, they're just because you don't have everything in hand doesn't mean you can't get started.
Mm-hmm.
And oftentimes we wait until we get started. Well, as soon as someone will say, as soon as my kids grow up, then I will do this. Or as soon as I have all the money, then I'll do that. As soon as she does this, then I'll do that. We can't do that. We shouldn't. Let's not say can't. We shouldn't do that. What
okay.
we should determine is, what is it that I have in my hand right now? What can I do? Not what can't I do. What can I do? Focus on that.
Okay.
And, do step A before you get to step J.
Now, also, now with, you know, what's important now and the guarantee, you know, guarantee to attain amazing levels of success. What if you're one of those people that, you know, just believe no opportunity waits and they try to rush to get to where they want to go without applying all of that stuff? What would you say to them? The no opportunity waiting person, you know?
Well, you know, I would say it once again lends itself to making the best use of time right now. You can't rush. You know, here, it takes 9 months for a baby to incubate, right, and to be born generally, right, to be fully developed in order to come into the world. And short of that, we know preemies still have to go into some sort of incubation period so that they can continue to develop. Some things you just can't rush. We need to be able to just ensure that what we're doing is not delaying the process.
Mm-hmm.
And process is the systematic series of actions that leads to an end. I'm saying it that way because I know I've said it many, many times before.
Mm-hmm.
It's the systematic series of actions that leads to an end. So the process that you engage determines the result that you create. You can't negate the process.
Now,
and so it's cooperate with it, not work against it.
Okay. Now, what about people who are measuring their ability or inability against someone else's? So let's just say John and Jane both got involved in the same business. Jane has had tremendous success in the business, and John is still trying to get his sea legs, so to speak. Now, John is always looking at Jane and everything, trying to figure out, you know, why is this working for her and not for me? Now, can you say that we should also bear in mind that our road may be different from someone else's and that we shouldn't measure ourselves against others?
I would agree with that 100%. You know, when you think about let's put it in the context of athletes. An individual who's an athlete recognizes that they need to do everything that they possibly can to ensure that they're in the best shape when they get into the competition. They've practiced, they've eaten properly, they've done everything necessary to set themselves up to succeed. Now, when they get on the field of competition, it really isn't against the other individual. It's really within themselves. Have I done my absolute best? Because, and you'd be hard-pressed to find an athlete being objective who says that they want to compete against someone else at their worst. They want to compete against them at their best because they recognize that it's all a reflection of what's the effort that I have put in. Have I done my absolute best? And if I've done my absolute best, even if I didn't, let's see, win the competition, they're dissatisfied with themselves.
Okay.
As long as they know they did their best. The part where is if I haven't done everything that I possibly can. So two individuals who have started a business and one person becomes more successful than the other more quickly. What to assess is not hateration on what they did. It's what did I do? Have I done everything that I possibly can? And if I have, then we have to be satisfied with what we have while we work towards what we want, right? And mm-hmm. so that becomes that's the name of the game.
Okay,
and I do everything I can.
And it's really funny that you use the example of an athlete because oftentimes you hear a lot of athletes say you just had the New York City Marathon happen, and I think the Philadelphia Marathon is happening this weekend. And many of the athletes that don't win say, you know, I PR'd. I did my personal best this time. I was in, like, really good heat or, you know, it was just really good to just be in the same field, on the same field with that caliber of athlete. And, you know, they say all of those things. So it's funny how you would pick that. And that is just like a classic example of of that, and it's a great example of it as well.
Yeah, well, I just really believe that that's the deal, and being objective, being honest about ourselves. All you can say is have I done my best? And the key is always look to better your best. So if you did the marathon and you did 3 hours and 30 this year, the next year you want to do 3 flat. You can always better your best, but at any given time, what you have to ask yourself, have I done all that I can possibly do to be successful? Did I set myself up for success? And that's what happens in practice. That's determined in practice. Only thing that happens on the field of play is what's lived out, what you did in practice, right? So you ask yourself in honesty, did I do all that I possibly can? Not that they beat me. That really is when it's, and certainly, you know, be from way back, you know, I'm a competitor. There's no doubt, and I want to win, but I know this. I don't deserve to win if I haven't done everything I possibly can. And if someone has a greater skill or ability than me, even though I've done my absolute best, I need to recognize, support, and acknowledge them and not be a hater because they won and I did, you know. So competition is always against oneself. Have I done all that I can possibly do with the time that I've got? You know?
So time will promote you or expose you. That holds true in that particular scenario. Okay, so, you know, basically we just all need to just kind of sit back and reevaluate exactly what it is we want to do and the steps we're going to take to do it and do it logically and realistically is what you're saying.
Yeah, well, certainly that's the case. It's asking yourself, what's the most important use of my time right now? When? What's important right now?
Mm-hmm.
No opportunity waits. Am I doing all I can to seize the opportunity that's in front of me? Have I prepared myself for the success that I want? And it's going to be borne out in how I use my time right now. And the time is objective. Everyone's got the same 24/7, but it will either promote or expose you based on what it is that you do.
Well, dang.
I think we're done.
Oh, hey. Oh, wait. Well.
Hey, where's the organ, right? Get the B3 on. It really has been my pleasure to be with you and our listening audience this week. Is there any way that they can, if they have questions or
things,
you know, we need to do a live show in the not too distant future. So that, you know, we can open up the lines and have folks ask questions specifically regarding whatever issues they're dealing with.
Okay, well, you know, I have to tell you that the show is live now, and they can, they can always dial in at 347-637-2319 and press 1, and they can, you know, ask questions or just give you scenarios where they need some kind of guidance or assistance in at any time. So what we'll do from now on, whenever we open up the show, we'll just give them that option and that opportunity by saying it up front, okay?
Sounds good. Works for me.
Okay, great. And as always, it is indeed a pleasure having you, and I love our little monthly get-togethers and everything. So you and I are back together again next month.
Sounds good. I'll be looking forward to it.
Great. So please join me next week when I will have Sharon Washington, and we will be discussing HIV and AIDS. It's a show that you really need to, you know, sit in and listen to. There's some information there that I think would be beneficial to most. So once again, Steve, thank you. And I can't wait to be with you again.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Let me wish you and also our entire listening audience a happy Thanksgiving as well. You know, we Turkey Day is not too far.
Right. That's right. So, Steve has said happy gobble gobble to you all.
Take care.
Okay, bye.
Bye-bye.
That's our show for today. So until next time, keep it real, listen, learn, and live.